ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकश्यपु टेक्स्ट नंबर 54। यदाचार्य परावृत्तो गृहमेदिय कर्मसु वयस्यैर्बालकैस्तत्र सोपहूतकृतशणै यदा ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: When the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Purport. In tiffin hours, the hours when the teachers were absent from the classroom, the students called Prahlad Maharaj, wanting to play with him. As will be seen from the following verses, however, Prahlad Maharaj was not very much interested in playing. Instead, he wanted to utilize every moment for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as indicated in this verse by the word Krita Shanai, at the opportune moment when it was possible to preach about Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj used the time as follows. When the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our reading from this wonderful section. And 2 days later, we have the wonderful appearance of Lord Narsingrave here to be celebrated. We are seeing the lifestyle of Prahlad Maharaj here. Prahlad Maharaj is perfectly embodying the words Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnunam. Prahlad Maharaj is very humble at heart and yet he is also very tolerant. And we can see from his life what kind of things he is going to tolerate now. Prahlad Maharaj is staying in a kingdom where everyone else is not a devotee. And yet we don't see that he ran away from the kingdom or he wrote some letter to someone to take me away from this place. How can I stay in midst of non-devotees? He knew that he cannot change the situation. He remained in the situation as a humble devotee and he tolerated. He tolerated his own father, Hiranyakashipu, who was now, as we see later, was ready to kill him also. He tried his best to kill him. So he tolerated his non-devotee father and the non-devotee association also. But yet, while staying in that association, he did not tolerate 2 things. And that was, he did not tolerate missing Krishna in his life even for a moment. So we can see here that he was always Krishna conscious. That he did not tolerate. So in this material world, we will be placed in a circumstances where things will not be in our way, will not work our way. We all have desires to be having a particular way, a particular surrounding, so that we can practice Krishna consciousness very nicely. But as the material world is not in our control, so many times we have to experience such things as Prahlad Maharaj experienced. But Prahlad Maharaj tolerated Hiranyakashipu, but he did not tolerate missing Krishna consciousness. And now in this verse we are seeing, he is not even tolerating seeing others miss Krishna consciousness. So here he is going to preach Krishna consciousness even in that circumstances. He is getting a break there, the tiffin hours. And Prahlad Maharaj is going to preach to his classmates about the process of Krishna consciousness and the emergency in taking the process of Krishna consciousness. Today also happens to be a very wonderful and blessed day. Today is the most auspicious occasion of the appearance of Srimati Rukmini Devi And we see Rukmini Devi's lifestyle is also parallel to Prahlad Maharaj. She was tolerating her own brother, Rukmi, was always against Krishna. Everyone in the kingdom were for Krishna, except the elder brother Rukmi. So Rukmini Devi tolerated Rukmi, but she did not tolerate missing Krishna. So she arranged to send the letter, and later she was abducted by Krishna and she got married to Krishna. So today we will spend some time discussing something on the wonderful life of Rukmini Devi. This episode comes in the Krishna book, chapter 51st, which is entitled Krishna the Ranachur. Now Prabhupada begins the chapter with a prelude to the previous chapter, wherein King Muchukunda receives the mercy of Lord Krishna. And the chapter begins where it is mentioned that Muchukunda, after receiving the mercy of Lord Krishna, he comes out of the cave where he was sleeping for so long time. And as soon as he comes out of the cave, he is surprised because he is seeing that everything has become smaller in size. Prabhupada writes, he saw people pygmy in size and the trees were also very small. So immediately he could see that Kali Yuga is going to come now. So he thought, this is not a good place to stay here. Let me go to a place which is aloof from the activities of Kali Yuga. And therefore he travelled towards the north to Gandhamadan mountain, which was very favourable practicing Krishna consciousness. This is the place where Lord Sri Nara and Narayan stay. And all great seers go to this particular place. And Prabhupada says, this place is still today available and it's called as Badrika Ashram or Badrinath. So Muchukunda went to this place, to Badrinath. Now, when Krishna, after delivering Muchukunda, and of course Kaliyavan also has been killed now, he comes out of the cave, and the condition is now that Jarasandha has already attacked Mathura for 17 times, and Krishna thrashed him and sent him away. Now when Krishna was anticipating the 18th time Jarasandha would come, Jarasandha was a very confident person. He did not miss an opportunity. 17 times he got defeated, but hum honge kamyab, as he say, no? One day we will be successful. So Jarasandha was there and Krishna was anticipating Jarasandha will come, but then Kaliyavan comes. So now Krishna is worried that two great armies are going to attack Mathura. So therefore Krishna overnight through Lord Balaram arranges everyone to be transported to a new place, and Krishna designs Dwarka that time. And here is Krishna alone, and then he first tackles Kaliyavan, kills him. So when he comes back to Mathura, Lord Balaram again comes there. And now at this time, Jarasandha has come to attack Mathura again. So 18th time, Jarasandha is attacking Mathura. But this time, Lord Krishna has some other plan. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that Lord Krishna decided to now run away from the battle. And Prabhupada gives two reasons. The first reason is, Prabhupada says, in order to prevent further killing of soldiers, Krishna decided to run away. And then Prabhupada says, and second reason is to attend to some other important business, Krishna ran away. And what was that business? That will soon reveal. So Lord Krishna, without fighting, he ran away from the battlefield. Actually, Krishna was not afraid, but he pretended that he was afraid. So Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna pretended here to be an ordinary human being frightened by the immense strength of Jarasandha. So this is Krishna's wonderful leela. When Krishna comes, he plays the part of a human being so well that people cannot identify him as Lord. That is perfect acting. Like for example, in the film industry, people get awards for their acting. When a hero is acting, when an actor is acting, then immediately people get emotions. They start crying or they start laughing. Because the person on the stage is acting in such a way that they feel it's real. But yet, everyone says, what an acting. That means they know, this person is different, he's acting. But Krishna, 5,000 years ago, he acted And still today, people are confused. They have not understood Krishna very well. So therefore we can see the best of all awards, whatever great awards of film is there in, should go to Krishna. 5,000 years later, people writing books against Krishna, that he was an ordinary person, why you are worshipping him as God. So Jarasandha also was in that category of being totally amazed. He was confused. Even Kunti Devi prays in the prayers of Kunti Maharani that, Lord Krishna, you are a perfect dramatic actor. You are playing the acting of my nephew. Nephew. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is also praying during Ayasu Yajna. Krishna, you are a perfect dramatic actor. Because no one can understand you. You are amidst us, all the Pandavas, and you are serving us. Yudhishthir Maharaj is glorifying Krishna that you took my order and you went to Jarasandha and you killed him. You helped Bhimsen to kill him. So you are acting like my younger cousin brother. How great it is. I know you are Lord, but still you act in such a way that even I cannot understand sometimes too. So that is Krishna's perfect acting. And here Jarasandha is completely bewildered. He is thinking Krishna is actually frightened and Krishna has run away. And because Krishna ran away, he became known as Ranchod. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna ran away not because he was afraid. Why? Because Krishna has already defeated Jarasandha 17 times. And he defeated the whole army single-handedly. He did not get his whole army to fight with Jarasandha. Krishna and Balaram came and that's all. 17 times Jarasandha's army was ransacked. So why should Krishna be afraid of Jarasandha? So what was the reason? It is mentioned here that Krishna was sensing that an important confidential letter is going to come to him in Dwarka. And that will be from Rukmini Devi. So Krishna, instead of worrying what will happen if I leave the battlefield, he is not caring at all. And Prabhupada says this is Krishna's glorious quality of renunciation. He does not even think that what will happen if I run away from battlefield. People may call me ill names. He doesn't care. Because for him, his main act is to serve his devotees. He is Bhakta Vatsala. And that quality of Bhakta Vatsala immediately took him away from Mathura to go to Dwarka because Rukmini Devi's urgent letter was going to come there. So this is Krishna's opulence, his renunciation, his Bhakta Vatsalya. So, in fact, Prabhupada says in this purport, in this Krishna book here, that even if Krishna has ran away from the battlefield, the best part was he got a name by which he became more famous also. He became famous as Ranachod. And Prabhupada writes in Gujarat today, there is a temple called as Ranachod, Ranchod Rai, where Krishna is worshipped and thousands of pilgrims every day come to take darshan. So one of the best temples of Krishna in Gujarat is Dwarkadish temple at Dwarka, Nadwara, and one is in Ranchod Rai at Dakor. So we can see that even if Krishna does some activity which externally looks to be not a good activity, which may get him ill fame, but actually because the devotees know very well his pastimes, they even glorify that activity of Ranchod and they go and visit him and call him Ranchod Rai. So Krishna and Balaram, immediately they run away and Prabhupada says that they were walking on their soft lotus feet and they travelled a huge distance till they came to a big mountain which was called as Pravarshana. So they climbed this mountain. This mountain was very big. It is mentioned they climbed the top of the mountain which was 88 miles long height. So Krishna was a great trekker also. He trekked on the peaks. And this Pravarshana mountain was that mountain which was constantly covered with clouds. Because of constant rainfall, the whole region was covered with clouds. So therefore, many people could not see the peaks also. So Krishna went 88 miles and he was there with Balaramji. So Jarasandha came and he was fully convinced that Krishna and Balaram are very much afraid of me, therefore they have climbed this mountain. So he tried to search Krishna throughout the mountain, but he could not get. So finally, from all sides, he surrounded the peak of the mountain and decided to set a blaze, set fire to this peak. So they put oil everywhere and they put fire. And Jarasan thought, now they are all over. Krishna and Balaram are no more. But Krishna, who is externally behaving like a human being, now shows that how he is God. Now he will make a great jump. He will jump from 88 miles down onto the ground with no one knowing, and he will go to Dwarka. So this is Krishna and Balaram, even in their human earthly pastimes, also showed that they were Supreme Lord. Like Krishna, unparalleledly, he lifted Govardhan Hill. And he showed, when he was a very small child, he showed the universe, the whole universe in his for his mother in his mouth. And then in Dwarka, he married 16,108 queens. This is a big remarkable achievement. And he had 16,108 palaces for them. So Krishna showed in his pastime that how he is God also. So Krishna and Balaram returned to Dwarka, and Prabhupada mentions in the book here, Krishna book, that as soon as they reached Dwarka, then immediately Lord Balaram married Revati, the daughter of King Revata. So while following the human codes, Krishna was also very diligent. He allowed first Balaramji to marry, and then Rukmani Devi later was going to come. So Prabhupada mentions that after the marriage of Lord Balaram, then Krishna married Rukmini Devi, who was from the Vidarbha province. She was the daughter of King Bhishmaka. And the whole story follows now, that how Krishna travelled from Dwarka to Vidarbha region. Now Vidarbha region comes in the Maharashtra. Loknath Maharaj was giving a lecture, and he was mentioning very humorously that even Krishna, he married the first wife was a Maharashtrian. So it's so nice. So Krishna came to Dwarka, and at that time, it is mentioned that Krishna received this letter. Prabhupada says that according to Vedic injunction, there are different styles of marriages. And Krishna married Rukmini in the Rakshasa style. Prabhupada mentions the normal style, the royal style of marriage is that both the parents of the bride and bridegroom, they arrange the marriage and the marriage takes place. Another is Gandharva style. I don't know what is Gandharva style. But Rakshasa style is that a man goes and kidnaps the lady and gets married. So Krishna married Rukmini Devi in a Rakshasa style. So it is mentioned that Krishna's activities are all transcendental. Prabhupada says, it is not like devotees are interested only in Rasila of Krishna. No, devotees are interested even in hearing Krishna kidnapping a lady. Why? Because all these pastimes are equally transcendental and equally purifying. Prabhupada mentions that if someone is thinking that Krishna and Vrindavan is different than Krishna and Kurukshetra, he is wrong. He is a foolish person. Krishna is same. All his pastimes are similar. So here we are going to discuss now, Krishna is going to kidnap Srimati Rukmini Devi from Nagpur, Vidarbha. So now, the scene goes to Vidarbha, where Bhishmaka and his sons, all of them agree that Krishna should marry Rukmini. But it was Rukmi alone, the elder brother, who was against Krishna. He was envious of Krishna, and therefore, above everyone's desire, he arranged, he set the marriage of Rukmini Devi with his own friend, Shishupal, the king of Chedi. So everyone was upset, but they could not do because he was the eldest, and everyone was proud of him, and they liked him also. So here was Rukmini Devi, she was thinking, what's happening? She was already tolerant to the abusive language of Rukmi, which he always used for Krishna. But now she was not tolerant because her own brother was arranging her marriage to someone else than Krishna. So Prabhupada says, because she was born in Kshatriya family, she was very perfect in political diplomacy also. So she decided that I am not going to tolerate this injustice. I am going to be bold like a Kshatriyani. And therefore, she contemplated what should be done, and then she immediately invited a Brahmana who was very close to her and told her that please take this confidential letter, reach Dwarka and give it to Krishna and tell him that please come and abduct me as soon as possible. So that was Rukmini Devi's plan. So this Brahmana, he goes, visits Dwarka. As soon as the Brahmana reached Dwarka, then Lord Krishna immediately worships the Brahmana. In which Prabhupada writes, just like the demigods worship Krishna, so Krishna worshipped this Brahmana. And thus Krishna showed that how Brahmanas are very dear to him. And then he told him to take rest because he was very tired after his journey. And after he took rest, then Krishna called him. Then Krishna took his lotus feet, Brahmana's lotus feet, on his lap and started massaging the lotus feet, telling everyone that how important it is to serve his devotees and the Brahmanas. So Krishna is saying to Brahmanas that I hope you are executing your religious principles without any difficulty, and I hope that your mind is in peaceful condition of life. So Prabhupada says that Krishna is here asking the well-being of Brahmana. And if you want to ask the well-being of the person should be asked as per his occupation, Prabhupada says. So based on the occupation, he is asking him whether you are following religious principles properly, there is no difficulty, and your mind is in peaceful condition. Because Brahmana means his mind should be peaceful. And then Lord Krishna, while massaging his lotus feet, started instructing him. This is Krishna's unique greatness. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, just like in battlefield of Kurukshetra, we see Krishna is serving Arjuna as chariot driver. But yet when time comes, he instructs Arjuna also. Similarly here, Krishna is serving the Brahmana, but at this exact time he is also asking, instructing the Brahmana, are you satisfied? Because the Brahmana by nature should be satisfied. And that's why a Brahmana is a leader. As a leader, he can guide. A satisfied person only can guide others. Why? Because he is not craving for anything else. Therefore, many times Govindpur said, you know, that if you hear a Brahmana, there is always a description of a poor Brahmana, never a rich Brahmana kind of thing. Because Brahmana would always voluntarily be poor, because they knew that wealth means anxiety. So for them, knowledge was very important, and they would inculcate knowledge and they would transmit this knowledge to others. There was a Brahmana. So they would voluntarily accept the poverty. And Prabhupada also mentions the example of Chanakya Pandit, who as per Prabhupada was the last successful Brahmana in the age of Kali took over. So Prabhupada mentions that once Chanakya Pandit was questioned by Maharaj Chandragupta Maurya, why in this way? And Chanakya Pandit said that I am a Brahmana. I am not supposed to give any reasons for what I am doing. Otherwise, I will not serve you. I will go away. So the whole idea is that a Brahmana is so pakka in his decision. He doesn't take consultation from others. Because he is pakka. He knows Shastra very well. And he knows how to act. And therefore, Brahmana can always give orders. So Prabhupada here is saying that Krishna is telling him that are you satisfied? That's the most important quality of a Brahmana. If you are satisfied, then you can execute your religious principles very properly. In this way, Lord Krishna expresses his feelings to the Brahmana. And then he asks, why you have come here? So Brahmana, without any delay, he gets the letter out. And now Rukmini Devi's letter will be read. So it is mentioned here that Rukmini Devi, she wrote to Krishna, my dear Krishna, O infallible and most beautiful one, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental form and pastimes immediately absorbs through his ears your name, fame, qualities. Thus all his material pangs subside and he fixes your form in his heart. Through such transcendental love for you, he sees you always within himself, and by this process all his desires become fulfilled. Similarly, I have heard of your transcendental qualities. Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam Purport 1.7.10 in the Atmaram verse that Lord Krishna, his qualities are so attractive, more attractive than the impersonal Brahman. Prabhupada compares impersonal Brahman to the water contained in the hoof of a calf's hoof prints. And he compares Krishna's quality that calf's hoof print water is compared to impersonal Brahman's quality. And the ocean is compared to Lord Krishna's quality. And Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna's qualities are so unlimited that devotees of Krishna are attracted to Krishna's quality. And even one quality of Krishna is sufficient to attract a person. And Prabhupada gave example how Kumaras, four Kumaras, they got attracted by the fragrance of the Tulsi which was smeared on Krishna's lotus feet. And in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that Rukmini Devi, she got attracted by Krishna's quality by hearing. Rukmini Devi had never seen Krishna, but she had heard about Krishna. And that hearing attracted her heart and convinced that Krishna should be the only husband of her. So she's saying, yeah, that I have heard of your transcendental qualities. I will be shameless in expressing myself so directly, but you have captivated me and taken my heart. You may suspect that I am an unmarried girl, young in age, and may doubt my steadiness of character. But, my dear Mukunda, you are the supreme lion among the human beings. Any girl, although not yet out of her home, or any woman who will be of the highest chastity would desire to marry you, being captivated by your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence and position. I know you are husband of Goddess of Fortune, and that you are very kind towards your devotee. Therefore, I have decided to become your eternal maid servant. So we can see here, Rukmini Devi, she is very bold. A devotee of Krishna should be bold. Boldness in the terms of that I want only Krishna, no one else. Anya vilashita shunyam, jnana karma adhya, anukulena Krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. He should be bold in terms of not compromising his Krishna consciousness. So Rukmini Devi is very bold. She is not compromising anything and she is directly writing a letter and she is expressing that I am very bold in asking all these things. It is not supposed to be asked by a young lady like this, but I am asking because I don't want anyone but you, Krishna. She is bold. And second thing now we can see here, she is saying that I have decided to become your eternal maid servant. She is very bold, yet she is also begging. So devotee of Lord is very bold, he doesn't compromise. But yet he knows that my boldness is not enough to get Krishna. I have to beg for Krishna's mercy. So Rukmini Devi is begging for Krishna's mercy and telling Krishna that please make me your eternal maid servant. You accept me as your wife. You are supreme, powerful. Now I belong to you. If that which is enjoyable for the lion to eat is taken away by the jackal, it will be a ludicrous affair. Therefore, I request you to immediately take care of me before I am taken away by the Shishupal and other prince. So she was begging because she knew who Krishna is and what it takes to have Krishna in life. Rukmini Devi in the letter continues, my dear Lord, in my previous life, I may have done public welfare work by digging wells, growing trees, or pious activities such as performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, and serving the superior spiritual master, the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. By these activities, perhaps, I have pleased the Supreme Lord Narayan. If this is so, then I wish that you, Lord Krishna, the brother of Lord Balaram, would please come here and catch hold of my hand so that I may not be touched by Shishupal and his company. So she knows that what it takes to have Krishna, amounts of pious activity. And she's saying that maybe I have done some pious activity and therefore now I have attracted you and I am asking for your help. And it is mentioned that she also knows that who is Lord Krishna? She later tells in this letter that she is saying that even Lord Shiva is not equal or greater to you. You are better than Lord Shiva. In fact, Lord Shiva is always meditating on you. Lord Shiva is the one who is always carrying the Ganges water which is flowing from your lotus feet on his head. He knows he is in charge of mode of ignorance and therefore he is very cautious. And therefore he is constantly meditating on you, O Lord Krishna, so that he will be always purified. So if Lord Shiva needs to be purified and is meditating on you, what to speak of me, Rukmini Devi is saying. For me to achieve your favor is more difficult, but yet I am determined. So Rukmini is now determined that even if you don't, she mentions that she was prepared to come lifetime after lifetime and still aspire for only Krishna. Ashtishiva padaratam pinastumam. That verse is exemplified here. Rukmini Devi is saying that even if I have to come lifetime after lifetime, I don't mind. Because I know to achieve you is very difficult. It's not easy. So this is the mood of a devotee. He is determined. He knows it takes a lot to achieve Krishna. He begs for the mercy. And yet he remains determined that I will achieve Krishna's mercy. Even if it takes lifetime after lifetime. So therefore, we should also know that in achieving Krishna conscious success, a devotee should be determined. Like Mukunda, he was determined. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you only see me after millions of births. And I was very happy. At least after millions of births, I will be able to see you. So that is the mood of a pure devotee, as seen. Unlike the outside world, like for example, in the outside world, there are so many bhajans and the kirtans go on. But this is all bogus, philosophical deviation. Because many of these bhajans are not written in proper Vaishnav understanding. Like there is a popular bhajan outside, which is very popular, in which the singer is saying that, oh Lord, at least do something for me. I have done so much for you, at least do something for me. When death comes, please arrange that vamshi what is there. And please arrange that you come playing your flute in threefold bending form. And don't forget to bring Radharani also. So this is a bhajan outside world, which is very famous. The idea is demanding Krishna. Krishna, I have done so much for you. At least thoda itna to karna. But the point is, Rukmini Devi is showing example here that even if I am not able to achieve in this lifetime, I am ready to wait for many lifetimes. And she is ready to pay the price for achieving Krishna's favor. In this way, Rukmini Devi finishes her letter, and then she also, Prabhupada mentions that she is an expert, intelligent lady. And because she is Kshatriya, she also knows. So she sends a letter and also she explains Krishna the plan, how he should come here. So she says intelligently that Krishna, I should come, and because my marriage is already fixed with Shishupal, and by the time you come, everyone has already reached, Shishupal is already going to come there with his whole entourage. So there is no chance. So only way is abduct me, kidnap me from there. And then immediately Rukmini Devi is also thinking, maybe Krishna may think, you know, I am going to marry Rukmini Devi, and if I go there, there will be a massacre, there will be a war, and I will kill my own relatives, Rukmini Devi's relatives, Rukmini Devi's father and brother and all. So maybe Krishna may not be willing to have a fight. So immediately Rukmini Devi writes in the letter that in order to avoid all those fighting business, there is a tradition in our family that when a girl gets married, she goes to visit the Durga Devi temple outside of the city. So when I go there, that time you can come and kidnap me. So Prabhupada says, this is Krishna conscious intelligence. That a devotee, he is asking for service, but also he is very intelligently using his talents to execute that service. So in this way, Rukmini Devi concludes her letter. Krishna becomes very happy, pleased, and he tells the Brahmana, they tell Rukmini Devi that just like she is very attracted to me, even I am attracted to her, and I want to come and get her for marriage. And this way he tells the Brahmana to go ahead. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad it is mentioned, this Brahmana who came to arrange for Rukmini Devi and Krishna's marriage was also present when Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he married Lakshmi Priya. And the person who arranged this marriage was called as Vanmali Ghatak. So he was the same devotee who was a Brahmana in Krishna's marriage. And Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions he was the same. This person is also non-different from Vishwamitra Muni, who arranged for Lord Ram's marriage with Sita Devi. So Brahmana leaves. He goes to back to Dwarka. Meanwhile, Krishna, he arranges for the journey. He tells Dwaruka to arrange for the horses. And it is mentioned that Krishna immediately starts from Dwarka, and within one night he arrived at the province of Vidarbha. Prabhupada mentions that Dwarka is in the western part of India and Vidarbha is very far away. Prabhupada is thousands of miles far away. But the horses were so fast that they reached the destination in a town called Kundina within one night. This place is still today in Vidarbha, Kundinapur. There is also the temple still. Their temple is there, Durga Devi temple, where Rukmini Devi went and she performed worship. And nearby there is a very famous Sri Sri Rukmini Vitthal temple. And recently some devotee was telling me that in between the two temples, our ISKCON society has got a big land. So devotees are going to make a temple of Rukmini Dwarkadish there. That is the plan there. So Krishna reached Kundinapur within one night, almost 12 hours, Prabhupada says. And the scene is that everywhere there is celebration going on. Bhishma had arranged for the marriage very nicely. And it is mentioned that exactly at that time, Shishupal came with his entourage. His father Damaghosh had come. Damaghosh, when he came for the marriage, he bought a big army. And Prabhupada says that why one should bring a big army for marriage? Because he knew very well that there might be a chance that this marriage will not take place. He was very much already thinking that Krishna might come. She was already prepared. He got big marriage troop. And also, not only that, he also arranged for other of his friends to also come. Like Jarasandha had come, Dantavakra, Vidurat, Poundraka. They all had come. Shalva had come. And they were all had come with their big armies. And Prabhupada said it was an open secret. Everyone knew that Rukmini wanted to marry Krishna and that Bhishmaka and all other brothers also wanted the same. But it was only this Rukmi. And they also had heard rumors that Rukmini has sent a letter to Krishna. So they were anticipating something to happen. And therefore, there was a rumor going on. And meanwhile, in Dwarka, Balaramji came to know that Krishna has left without him. So immediately to help Krishna, Balaramji started behind him with a big army, Yadav Sena. And on the other hand, here Rukmini was expecting Krishna to arrive. And neither Krishna was coming, neither Brahmana had come. So she was in anxiety, she was worrying. And she was thinking that negatively that maybe Krishna has rejected her proposal. And that's why Krishna has not come. And because the Brahmana doesn't want to break this news of this bad news, so he must have also not come. And then she was thinking that maybe I have not performed the worship of demigods properly. Prabhupada writes that that if a person performs demigod worship to achieve Krishna, then it's good. And Prabhupada mentions the example of gopis worshipping Katyayani. Similarly, Rukmini also was worshipping Brahmaji, Shivji and Durga Devi, just so that she would get Krishna as her husband. So she was contemplating that, why is it that the demigods are not satisfied with me? And she was contemplating what happened with Brahmaji not satisfied, Lord Shiva not satisfied, Durga Devi not satisfied. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that Rukmini Devi is thinking that maybe Brahmaji, he has stopped Krishna while Krishna was coming on this path to me. But then she is thinking that why should Brahmaji do that? Why should he be unfavorable so much? And then she thinks that maybe Lord Shiva is the one who is obstructing Lord Krishna to come to meet me. And then she is thinking that he is Maheshwar and I am an insignificant person. So why should still Lord Shiva be so merciless? And then she thinks maybe Lord Shiva's wife, her name is Rudrani. And she is expert in making others cry. So maybe that she wants me to cry piteously and trouble me. But then why should she make me cry? Doesn't she that I have such a soft heart? And then she thinks that maybe she, because she is Girija, the daughter of mountain. Therefore her heart is also like a mountain. So all these thoughts are coming. And she is thinking that why is this happening? And she is morose. And immediately Prabhupada says, auspicious symptoms appear on her body. And with the auspicious symptoms, the Brahmana arrives. And he gives the message that Krishna is soon coming. And she becomes very happy. Prabhupada says she wanted to give in charity to this Brahmana. But she had nothing. She simply offered obeisances to this Brahmana. And Prabhupada says that when a person offers obeisances to other person, it shows that a sign of being obliged to the person whom is offering obeisances. So in this way, Rukmini Devi, a goddess of fortune, she became obliged to this Brahmana. And that was the reciprocation of Rukmini Devi to the Brahmana. The Brahmana went. And now when Krishna Balaram had already reached the outskirts of Kundinapur, Bhishmaka went and he very nicely welcomed both Krishna and Balaram. When Krishna and Balaram were roaming in the town, everyone was so enchanted by Krishna and Balaram. And everyone in their heart were thinking that Rukmini should marry Krishna. In fact, all the people, citizens of that town, they were praying that let all our pious activities which we have done, that be taken away. And that be used so that Rukmini marries Krishna. So even the citizens were favoring for Rukmini to marry Krishna. So in this way, that day went by. The next day, as Rukmini had planned, she went to worship the Durga Devi temple. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that she was taken by a palanquin, and only 10 to 12 feet away from temple did she get down from palanquin, and then she went to the Durga Devi temple. Prabhupada writes, when Rukmini was praying to Durga Devi, she offered a variety of items before the deity, like water, different kinds of flames, incense, garments, garlands, various food prepared with ghee such as puris and kachoris, fruits like sugarcane, betel nuts, spices, everything. With great devotion, Rukmini Devi worshipped Durga Devi and asked for the blessing. And Prabhupada writes, after the business of deity worship was finished, Rukmini Devi caught hold of one of the hands of her girlfriends and she left the temple. So she was going towards the palanquin. Meanwhile, everyone was waiting. All the princes, they had never seen Rukmini Devi. So they were waiting to get to have a glance. And Rukmini Devi was also going because she knew this is the time when Krishna will come. So even she was also looking towards all these people. So Prabhupada mentions that people, when they saw Rukmini Devi's beauty, they were fainting. And Rukmini Devi was waiting, approaching all of them, just to spot Krishna. She had never seen Krishna, but she had heard about Krishna. And as soon as she saw Krishna, she recognized Krishna, and Krishna recognized Rukmini Devi. And immediately, Krishna took Rukmini Devi on the chariot and then left the place. Meanwhile, Jarasan and all these people, they came out of their faintingness and they came out and they said, what's happening? And they told, what's happening? This lion, this booty is for the lion, but jackal is taking. So we should attack. We should not let Krishna take the Rukmini away. So they attacked immediately. And it is mentioned that Rukmini Devi, when he saw that Jarasan and all these people, they were attacking, she became very frightened. And in a fearful attitude, she began to look onto the face of Krishna, expressing her gratefulness that he had taken such a great risk for her sake. That is the quality of Rukmini Devi, that even though she was afraid, but she was thinking that actually because of me, Krishna is having all this, is taking so much of a risk. But it is mentioned that sometimes you see pure devotees getting bewildered and frightened, but that's part of the pastime. Like Balramji also got frightened when Bakasur swallowed Krishna. So Balram thinks, what's happening? But then immediately Krishna came out. So that is the Leela, that's how pastimes take place. So immediately Krishna consoles Rukmini Devi that she should not worry, and that Yadu dynasty soldiers will come and attack and defeat them. So Balramji comes, as a very big fight, and the fight is one-sided. Balramji is massacring the whole army. So now when the whole army is getting massacred, Jarasan and other parties are thinking that this marriage is supposed to be Shishupal's marriage. And this person is such a weakling, he cannot fight alone. And we are helping him and we are losing. So why should we lose our men in this fight? So immediately they retrieve and they go away. And then the whole fight is over. They all run away. Meanwhile, Shishupal, he is very morose. He's thinking, what's happening? Suddenly everything has gone away from my hand. And Rukmi comes and he consoles Shishupal and says that, don't worry, I'll take a vow. I'll go and defeat Krishna and get Rukmini back. And if I cannot defeat, I'll not come back to this kingdom again. So Rukmi goes, and as we know the story, as it goes, that Krishna nicely shaves him. Peculiar haircut. Prabhupada says that his half mustache was cut, his half beard was cut, and hair was kept on all heads, like typical punk style. So in previous ages, this punk style was a punishment, but now it is a fashion. So Rukmi was devastated. Actually, Balramji comes and consoles Rukmini Devi. Balramji takes the side of Rukmini Devi and tells Krishna, I should have not done like this. This is Kshatriya, what you are doing. And in this way, he consoles Rukmini Devi. And Krishna just watches, because Krishna knows what's going on. So Rukmini Devi is consoled. And actually, it is very amazing that it is the same Balramji who later killed Rukmi. When Krishna's grandson was marrying Rukmi's granddaughter. And that time, Krishna kept quiet, because Krishna knew, I cannot take sides. So in this way, Rukmi was defeated. And Krishna came to Dwarka. He was very much welcomed there. In fact, even Bhishmaka came. He was told to come. He came and offered his daughter in marriage. It is mentioned that Bhishmaka offering Rukmini in marriage to Krishna is just like in Krishna's pastime in the material world. Agnidev comes and gives Sudarshan Chakra as a gift to Krishna for his use. Sudarshan Chakra is eternal weapon of Krishna. But in this pastime, Agnidev comes and gives the Sudarshan Chakra. Similarly, Bhishma comes and says that this girl is for your marriage. Padma Purana also mentions that Maharaj Nanda and all the cowherd boys of Vrindavan joined the marriage ceremony. And this way, with pompous celebration, Krishna married Rukmini Devi. Now, there are many more things. Just one or two small things before I end is that Rukmini's pastime of writing a letter to Krishna was also enacted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Navadvip. And that was a very wonderful drama which took place. It was very hilarious and humorous drama. We don't have time much to discuss, but in short, Haridas Thakur, he became the Vaikuntha doorkeeper. And he came in a dress and outfit, and no one could recognize him. And when they could recognize him, they were all laughing because they came to know Haridas Thakur. But then he told and came and said, now the Supreme God is going to come as the goddess of fortune and going to dance for everyone. And then Shrivas Pandit comes dressed as Narad Muni, and he says that I went to Vaikuntha, but Vaikuntha was empty. No one was there. Why? Because the Supreme Lord Narayan has appeared in Navadvip, so I come here to see him dance. Then Rukmini Devi comes, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as Rukmini Devi, dressed beautifully. No one could recognize him, and she writes the letter, and the same verses of Srimad Bhagavatam she speaks. So that is the pastime of Rukmini Devi. We also have a knowing that Rukmini Devi worshipped a beautiful deity of Lord Krishna, which is now worshipped at Udupi, which came in the custody of Madhvacharya. That whole pastime is there. And we also know that how Rukmini Devi once became sad, angry on Lord Krishna. It is mentioned that in the Skanda Puran that once Radharani visited Dwarka, and Krishna was very much with Radharani always. So Rukmini Devi became very upset. So she came to Maharashtra at Dindirvan. And Krishna saw that Rukmini is not happy. So he came to take her back. But she was not agreeing to come. So meanwhile, Lord Krishna thought that let me go and visit my devotee Pundalik. He is in Pandharpur. So Krishna came there. And then Lord Krishna stood there as Pandharinath and with hands on the waist. And Rukmini Devi, after some time, she became okay. And she came back. And she also stood next to Lord Vitthal. So that is a beautiful deity of Lord Krishna and Rukmini, Vitthal Rukmini in Pandharinath temple. Hare Krishna. I'm very sorry I took extra time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.